Now, the rest of the story. Among the biggest put-downs in American political history was the FDR administration's condemnation of Herbert Hoover. Beginning with the presidential campaign of 1932 and continuing throughout much of Franklin Roosevelt's unprecedented 16 years in office, Herbert Hoover was relentlessly associated with, was repeatedly blamed for, the Great Depression. That Republicans in general, and Hoover in particular, were declared synonymous with the crash is considered in retrospect to have been nothing more than a political gimmick on Roosevelt's behalf. His aim, after all, was to keep Republicans out of office, and it worked. The slums of the 30s, the tar paper shacks along the tracks, were calculatedly nicknamed Hooverville, anything to equate our nation's financial downfall with Republicans. Hoover was handy. And he was crushed under the wheels of the Roosevelt bandwagon because the circumstances he had inherited would not allow him to step out of the way. Although he could have fought back, Herbert Hoover could have turned the tables on FDR in 1932 and perhaps even saved himself politically had he only told the rest of the story. Herbert Hoover, the man, had most of those qualities which people look for in their leaders. He had persistence, intelligence. An orphan, age 8, his early years were tough ones. He worked his way through newly opened Stanford University in the 1890s. After college, he labored in a mine, 10 hours a night, 7 nights a week. Later, as an engineer, he traveled abroad promoting mining companies. At the outset of World War I, he took on a succession of humanitarian jobs. Then, after the war, he organized to feed the starving in 23 countries. In 1919, Herbert Hoover returned to the U.S. By then, he had become an internationally known figure. But the first to suggest the extent of his potential was the Assistant Secretary of the Navy. He said, quote, "Herbert Hoover is a wonder. I wish we could make him President of the United States. There could not be a better one," end quote. Well, 9 years later, they made him President of the United States. And you know what happened then? Of course, you also know that the domestic financial instability for which he was blamed had been inherited from previous administrations, and that the depression FDR tried to pin on him was, in fact, a worldwide depression which had begun in Europe, and that the Democratic sweep in the 1930 congressional elections tied Hoover's hands. Now, remember the RFC, the Reconstruction Finance Corporation, which he, Hoover, created? That was silently adopted into Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal. And yet in 1932, FDR dumped the Depression squarely into the incumbent president's lap. The crash was Hoover's fault, he said. And an anxious nation listened. But you know, Herbert Hoover could have turned it around. He might have reminded FDR that once upon a time, the Assistant Secretary of the Navy declared that there could not be a better president than Herbert Hoover. That endorsement would have been incredibly effective on the campaign trail. Because the Assistant Secretary of the Navy, who in 1919 first recommended Herbert Hoover for the presidency, was Franklin Roosevelt himself. Now, you know the rest of the story.